Everyone, Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight. Glad to have you in here with us on the Shepherd's Call. Live tonight around the world on Clear Channel, the transmitting Jewel of the South, WWRB. We got a great message for you. This is another controversial, groundbreaking message for you that most people don't get into. We've been preaching about the festivals, particularly Passover and the resurrection. And tonight we're going to begin a brand new series on how to count to Pentecost. Now, you already know that the word Pentecost is a Greek word, and it means 50. Well, the festival is called the Feast of Weeks. Now that's 49 days. That'd be how that you would determine that. And the Pentecost, meaning 50, and weeks mean sevens, the Feast of Weeks would be only 49 days and not 50. So the Feast of Weeks is not 50 days. It is 49 days. Pentecost means 50. This proves that there are two counts, even if you interpret the second count as one day after the seventh Sabbath, which is 49, instead of numbering 50 days after the seventh Sabbath. Both counts, whether they're one day or 50, begin after the seventh Sabbath. Now, that's the whole key right there. It's marvelous how that Yahweh has put the truth into action, and man has actually taken truth and misinterpreted it. In other words, they've done it their way or the traditional way, and he says, my ways are not your ways. As heaven is higher than earth, so are my ways higher than yours. And we've got to come back to Yahweh. Now, one of the key scriptures, I want to give you the key. We will stress this key, which is the opening of the door to the mystery and unlocking the correct time. Now, if you keep the Sabbath and you don't keep the right day, then you're worshiping in vain. You have a way that seems right, or you have a traditional way. It has to be on the same day that he rested. Now, what day did he rest? Well, we know exactly how he rested because it's penned in the Holy Word of Yahweh. He rested on the eighth day. And that's contrary to those that actually what they did. They practiced things of deception out of their own mind. Now, what do I mean by things of deception out of their mind? A way that seems right. Now, for those that are seeming right, as opposed to the way that is right, then we've got to come and conform. We have to bow. We have to readjust our thinking, because by knowing that there's a way that seems right, as opposed to the way that is right, and this is where I'm going to show you the razor's edge of how to interpret the Word of Yahweh, how it's interpreted proper, and how it's misinterpreted by the way that seems right. because the carnal mind is not subject to the laws of Yahweh, and neither can be, because the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh. Yahweh don't think with a carnal mind. Yahweh never spoke with a carnal mind. And so if you're in a carnal mind setting with a carnal mind understanding, and you're fixed in the traditions of carnality, which most of the church world is already in, the key scripture that I'm fixing to place here into your thinking apparatus. Now, you think about these things. The Bible said, study on these things to make yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Wouldn't it be awful if you so zealously kept the wrong Sabbath day? Now, if you're off on the Sabbath day, you're going to be off on the count to Pentecost. And if you're wrong on Pentecost, you're going to be wrong on Tabernacles. And if you're wrong on Tabernacles, you're going to be wrong on the Day of Atonement, which is the 10th month within that framework of the 7th month. And we know exactly how to count according to the Bible. People put their tradition, they put the way they see it. Some advocate the solar, and some advocate a Gregorian Saturday or Sunday within that framework. And so there's many ways, but there's none of it Bible. Oh, it seems right. It's logic. It's man's wisdom. But did you know what the Bible says that he thinks about man's wisdom? Well, he's got a pretty good ideal about man's wisdom. He says that Yahweh looked at people that thought that they had wisdom as fools. And then he looked at fools that thought that they didn't have any, and they thought that they were wise, because you know what? He chose the foolish things. And to the carnal mind, it just don't compute. They're looking for key things. They're looking for things that seem right, the things that that makes more logical sense as opposed to spiritual sense. Again, Yahweh's ways are not our ways. We've got to conform. So the key scripture here that I'm going to give you tonight, and you write this one down. It's going to be very important for you throughout this series. We may do two parts or three. I don't really know. It probably do justice to do three parts, because this is a very in-depth study just on this one subject of Pentecost. And remember now, the Bible says that he was seen 40 days after his resurrection. Now, we know according to Acts chapter 10, verse 41, that after the Messiah was resurrected, that the Bible says that he ate and drank with them after that he rose from the dead. Now what's that? Well, that means exactly what it said. It means that he ate and drank with them physically after he rose from the dead. Acts 10:41, like I say. Now, what if he rose in vain? Well, he didn't rise in vain. Well, what if you're thinking in vain? What if you are off on what he said to do? Now, remember what he told the apostles? The 40th day that he appeared to them, here's what he said. Go to Jerusalem and tarry until you are endued with the power, or the Ruach, or the Spirit of the Mighty One. And the Bible said they went, and they were there 10 days. Now that makes a complete 50 days. The day that the 10th day fell on was the 50th day. Well, remember now, us back up here, and what he said, here is what it says in Leviticus chapter 23:16. Now notice the razor's edge of confusion here. You can really literally interpretate this scripture in two ways. Now I'm going to show you how that most people interpret it, as opposed to the way that it was actually meant to be interpreted. Now, if you number 50 days from the first Sabbath, instead of on the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, you do number seven Sabbaths complete. Leviticus chapter 23:16. It says, on the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, number 50 days. Now, you catch that? That's key. Now, if that went over your head, let me back up and do it again. After the seventh Sabbath, you number 50 days. Now, what's difficult about that? Whereas most traditional people that keep Pentecost, they count 50 days from the Passover or the wave sheaf offering, either way, or that Sabbath there that he mentioned that on. There's two ways to look at that count start and process that we're going to try to clear up the mysteries as we go through the proper count to Pentecost. Now, it's very important. If it wasn't important, Yahweh wouldn't teach us these things, and he wouldn't tell us to study to show ourselves approved, and he certainly wouldn't tell us to keep his commandments if we love him. And if a man says he loves Yahweh and he won't keep his commandments, we know exactly what he is. He's a liar. And anybody that won't conform to scriptures is spinning their spiritual wheels in the mud of their own ignorance, their fear, or their superstition. Most of it is tradition, to top that off. After the seventh Sabbath, you do number seven Sabbaths complete, and after the seventh Sabbath, you begin to number the weeks from the time that you put the sickle to the corn. Deuteronomy 16 and 9. That's where this is in the scripture. To bring in the wave sheaf offering. Now, remember when I was teaching you on the resurrection, a 72-hour resurrection that is not true. Everybody swears that he was in the earth 3 days and 3 nights in a grave. And we proved beyond a reasonable shadow of a doubt he wasn't. Simply because, although there were 3 days here that were concerned his passion in the heart of the earth, it endured a 72-hour cycle of partly of the 3 days. And I'll show you when I say partly. There was only one full day complete in his rest, and that was on the Sabbath. The other two was partials. The 14th, he didn't die till 3 o'clock. Well, that don't mean that he died the night before, which would have made a complete day at evening when they took him down between at the last evening. That would have made a full count of 24 hours. And he died at 3 o'clock. So it's a partial day. Now, on the 15th day, that's a full day. You can rest assured, ladies and gentlemen, that he didn't do anything. He didn't come out of the grave. He didn't do anything other than what I told you. He went and preached to the souls that was disobedient in the days of Noah. So it was a day of worship. The Messiah, although he was dead in the flesh body, it was the sonship laying in the tomb. And it was the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, that descended into the lower parts of the earth, according to 1 Peter chapter 3:18. And he preached to the souls that was disobedient in the days of Noah. Well, in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, we find that before he ascended into heaven, remember now, he didn't ascend into heaven till after he rose from the resurrection. Remember, it was 40 days that he was seen with the disciples periodically. And remember that on the 8th day, he told Mary, before the 8th day, he told Mary not to touch him. That was on the 1st day. When he appeared to her and Mary Magdalene, he said, "Touch me not." Well, in John chapter 20, verse 28, he encouraged doubting Thomas to touch him, proving that he'd already ascended into heaven. And yet, 40 days later, he was seen again. So he came and went in the spirit realm and appeared as natural enough to, in Acts 10:41, he did both eat and drink with his disciples after he rose from the dead. So these dates and events are very important, and because of the tradition of men, they begin to number the 50 days from the first Sabbath instead of the morrow after the Sabbath. Now you see that? Now let me go that again real slow. Because of the tradition, the way man has always kept this, you say, "Pastor Buddy, you're always bringing up things to conflict the way we do things." No, I'm not bringing up these things purposely to argue against you or to prove that I'm right about anything. I bring these things up as a point, a bone of contention, you might say, as to the word interpretation. But because of the tradition of men, they begin to number the 50 days from the first Sabbath instead of the morrow after the seventh Sabbath. That's the whole key to what I'm fixing to tell you here. That's why, basically, now this is in Leviticus chapter 23, again, verse 16. And you begin to number the weeks from the time you put forth the cycle sickle to the corn. Now, in this seven cycles, which equals 49 days, and that's the day after the Sabbath, the first Sabbath, which is when he spoke to them in Leviticus 23 and verse 16. So, he tells us exactly when to number, and there's two sets of numbers, like I have told you, that you have to bring into account. Not just a single 50-day Sabbath. That's the way they do it. They number from the first Sabbath 50 days, and that's not correct. You begin to number the weeks from the time you put the sickle to the corn in Deuteronomy 16 and 9, as I said. Therefore, there were two counts to find Pentecost, proving that. One is from the morrow after the Sabbath that the priest waves the sheaf, which I told you was on the 16th day, the very 16th day. That's the day after the Sabbath. Well, the Messiah died and rested the complete Sabbath day, but somewhere on the 16th day, partially he was, we count the first day at the 14th, when he died at 3 o'clock, we had to count that as a partial day. So he wasn't in there a full 72 hours like everybody believes. He was in the earth tomb for exactly one day, that was the Sabbath day, and for the one night, and then at even on the 16th day, which was the high priest sheaf wave offering day, he rose up sometime during that night because it was early morning in Mark 16, that Mary and the other Mary came to anoint him with spices, and the two angels informed them that he was already up. So some part of that day of the 16th, he was already risen. Now that don't make 72 hours, as these proponents of the 72-hour or 3-day and 3-night cycle. And the same is applied to the principle of counting to Pentecost. It's real simple. And that's why it's called the Feast of Weeks. 49 days shall you number, and the Feast of Pentecost means 50. Well, if you numbered 49 days, you wouldn't have it correctly. You'd have to involve two counts here, which is exactly what the Scripture says in Leviticus 23:16. When it says, even unto the tomorrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days. It does not say it is the 50th day there. That's very important for you to get this. And ladies and gentlemen, if I didn't think that Pentecost was important, and you say, well, now, it don't mean, you know, you have to do it that very day that he done it on. Glory to God. You know, God knows your heart. He got many names. You hear all this crap. He don't have many names. How many names does Jesus Christ have? The one that you really believe in is Jesus Christ. How many names does he have? Well, you say he's got one. Well, then when you bring up Yahweh, the people that want to come against you say, oh, he's got many names. I say, well, name me a couple of them. Well, Jehovah, well, the Bible says, if you look at the Tetragrammaton in the Greek, which means four letters, that Jehovah is erroneous. Now, if you want reference to that, look on page 72 of the King James Version Open Bible. It tells you on page 72 that the translators erred in bringing in the 8th century A.D. They brought in the vowels of Abadonia to mix with the sacred letters and put in Jehovah instead of Yahweh. And therefore, the Jehovah Witnesses, just like the Seventh-day Adventists that believe that Saturday is the Sabbath, and of course the rest of the Christian Protestant movement, which believes that Sunday is the Sabbath, that's the day that they worship them. You see, this is all Babylonian confusion. It's easy to prove that Saturday is not the Sabbath. It's easy to prove that Sunday is not the Sabbath. It's easy to prove that the 50 days after the first Sabbath is not the day of Pentecost. And we're going to get deeper into this as we go along, and you're going to get the meat of the subject. Now, another says, when you remember, one does not mean Pentecost, but 50 means Pentecost. Compare the wording in Leviticus 23:11 with verse 6. Now, that's all you got to do. Make this comparison. The first says, and he shall wave the sheaf offering before Yahweh to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Now notice that. Not on the first Sabbath. That was the 15th day of his resurrection. Now, he was in the grave on the Sabbath in the resurrection week there, beginning on the partial 14th day, the full day of the 15th, and the partial day of the 16th. That's the wave sheaf of. He had to be up, ladies and gentlemen, to fulfill the wave of the high priest. Now, we got a new high priest. We got a new sheriff in town. No longer is the Levitical covenant allowed or presented to you for your sins. And we know that the Messiah was seen 40 days after his resurrection, and that he told them to go tarry, and they tarried for 10 days, and then on the day, on the full day, not the 49th day, but the 50th day, he appeared. Now let's get this straight. Now he told them to number 49 days. And then he told them, after the seventh Sabbath, that's 49 days, shall you number 50 days. Well, now, anybody can count 50 and 49. How many days is that? That's 99 days. And the 50th day would be 100 days. So the actual count of Pentecost is not 50 days, as the traditional people do it in churchianity. Doesn't really matter anyway, because they're all screwed up on the Gregorian calendar, or the Seventh-day Adventist calendar, or the solar calendar. None of these work. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been studying the Word for 50 years, and none of these applications apply. You need not apply where there's a deceptive way. But many people walk on the broad way that leads to death and destruction. Why would they do that? Because they are partial to tradition, things that they've learned by tradition. Now, some people have got in so deep that they found out that Sunday wasn't the Sabbath. And so they went back to the Gregorian calendar and looked on the film and said, duh, Saturday is the seventh day. So we gotta keep the Sabbath, and that's on Saturday. And that's what the Jews say. Or that's what Pope Gregory said. Pope Gregory's one said it, that Saturday was the seventh day, not the Jews. The Jews just conformed and went along with it through tradition. Because they didn't want to get left out of the just like they don't want to get left out of Easter. They gotta set up formulas on how to arrive at the date of Easter. If A happens, then B comes into effect. If A don't happen, then C is the effect. It's just pure Babylonian confusion. That's all I can say about it. Listen to this again now. The wording in Leviticus chapter 23:11, comparing to verse 16, says, and he shall wave the sheaf offering to Yahweh to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. Notice, something is to be done on the morrow after the Sabbath. What is it? The answer is the wave sheaf offering. Now, verse 16. Even unto the morrow after the seventh Sabbath shall you number 50 days. Do you get that?
Is that so hard? I mean, this is simple arithmetic or obedience to the way he said to do it. On the morrow after the Sabbath, you waved the sheaf offering, even on the morrow after the seventh Sabbath is complete. Now we got the seventh Sabbath and 50 days, or 49 days, and the 50th day would be the day of Pentecost, which actually means 50. Well, 50 is determined from after the seventh Sabbath, not before. And that's the issue here. Most people grab, well, you count 49 days and the 50th day is the Pentecost, and that's when we have it. Glory to God, shun die, hallelujah, I got a revelation. Oh, really? That ain't what Yahweh said to do, ladies and gentlemen. And if you're found in violation of any of his laws, you say, the Sabbath day is not important, Pastor Buddy. Oh, no. Why did Yahweh expel Israel from the land? One thing. They wanted to join the tradition of the heathen. Probably hiding Easter eggs. Worship Ishtar, which is where we get the symbol of the bunny. And these bunnies are laying eggs, which is the fertility eggs that was to impregnate Ishtar. And so then they pick out a day. They don't call it Passover in Acts chapter 12, verse 2. They call it Ishtar. Well, to get Ishtar into the picture, which is their Passover, then from that you number 50 days. So listen to me. After tomorrow, after seven Sabbaths, after seven Sabbaths now, 49 days, then you would tack on another 50 days, which would give you exactly 100 days if you wave it after the 49th day, which will be 50, and then you number 50, that's 100 days. And there's no... I don't understand why the people have such a hard time with this, but they do. Now, here you got it. Notice, again, that something is to be done after the seventh Sabbath. What? Number 50 days. And offer a new meat offering. You have 7 weeks of 6 work days plus a Sabbath, which equals 49 days. And you have 50 days from the morrow after the seventh Sabbath, a total of 99 days. The total plus 3 new moon days and worship days that are not counted as one of the 6 ordinary work days or Sabbath weekly days, because you can't count them. He said Sabbath, you've got to count the Sabbath. Well, you can't include this in the 6 ordinary work days. Now, the summer wheat. I want you to get this now. This is real important as a key, another key. This is key number 2 for you. As we fill in the keys, and remember, it's just like tumblers on a lock. There's several keys, the tumblers, that has to be matched to open the safe for the door into the valuables. If you want to get into the true valuable day of Pentecost, then you start on the valuable day of Passover. Now, let's go back to and review Passover again for just a moment. What about Passover? Well, we know what day that the command of Leviticus chapter 23 is. They said in the time or the season of Abib, now that's in the spring, that you arrive by doing the particulars that he said, and I'll review them for you just in a moment. Let's go back to how do you arrive at the spring equinox? Well, you get by marking the spring equinox, and that is marked simply by doing this. On the spring equinox, which is an event that is astrologically planetary. Correct. And, you know, even the ancients, they had these planetariums all over the earth to observe the stars and the moon for signs and seasons and things of this nature, as he placed the two great lights in heaven. One was to rule the day. That's the sun. That's the solar application. Then at night, he had the stars, and he had the moon. And we know that the moon has a cycle system that is unique. It cycles every 6 work days, and then it rests on the 8th day. And I told you that nowhere in the Bible did they keep a so-called seventh day when you use the lunar moon, which is month or moed. When you use that in relationship to the cycle system, you don't work on a new moon. It's dark. Now, it can stay dark 2 days. The next day, the next month, it might be dark 1 day. Well, if there happens to be a Sabbath that falls on 29, at the end of that 29, you may have possibly 3 days that you can't work, the Sabbath day and the two dark days, and you're not permitted to work, so you have to wait. Well, Amos 8:5 said, they complained about that. It was a system designed exclusively for the house of Israel, none other. And literally no other people that I know of, except the true Israelites, those that are scattered abroad, are keeping this festival of Passover directly related to the first moon after the equinox. And most people go to right the next day. You see, they have to do this in order to sweep one of those days that don't come out right on their solar calendar. They have to invent a sign day. Now, that's something that the Bible don't support and don't go along with, but that's what they do in their logical approach to getting 364 days within the cycle of 7. But that one day, they sweep that under the rug. It's just like this, they do this same thing here with Pentecost, the 50th day. They count 49 days, but 49 is not Pentecost. 50 is Pentecost. So 49 is a group of numbers that Yahweh told you to install after the Sabbath that you were tomorrow on the wave offering, that you do your system here. You do your count. And it's two different counts that has to be involved. That is the 49 days of the seventh Sabbath plus the 50 days of Pentecost. That's 99 days. Now, what's so hard to understand about that? It's most people don't even go back and read what he said to do. And then when they do read it, they get out of the gate wrong and start off on the wrong foot. And it's just like Johnny, your little soldier that's marching, and your little Johnny, and you stand there and watch all the rest of the soldiers out of step, and Johnny's the only one in step. In reality, Johnny's out of step with the marching of the company. And I used to be in the Army, and a first sergeant catch you marching out of step, I'm telling you, he would almost break your shin bone when he walked up and kicked you, and to make you change cadence and get in step. And when you thought of along, you was in step, and you're a step out. Well, that's exactly what's happening here, because, you see, ladies and gentlemen, there's two elements here that I like to bring to your attention. The first one I'm going to deal with is the summer wheat. And remember, it was a wheat offering. It wasn't a barley. Everybody wants to say, well, 50 days, you see, the barley was still being in vogue. But it was a wheat offering. The wheat offering is the summer wheat. If it's planted in the first month, it would yield a first fruit in time for Pentecost in the fourth month. Now we're beginning to shed some light on your understanding. It was a wheat offering, grain offering, that was offered to Yahweh on this sheep offering. And it was in the fourth month that they planted the wheat. You can plant wheat right here in the first month. It will be a bib, and you would have a Pentecost, and you go out in your harvest, and it would be ripened and ready for an offering, a grain offering, just like Yahweh commanded them to do. Notice it. It explains why the wheat was not destroyed by the worst hailstorm that Yahweh brought on those in Egypt when he was showing his sign. The hail was on the 10th day of the first moon in Egypt. The 10th day. Isn't that something? Hail came on the 10th day of the first moon, the tenth day. Now, what's tenth day mean? Well, if you go to the book of Yahweh-Shua, which is Joshua in English, what they try to put in there for you, but Joshua was the priest, and he led the children of Israel over into the land of promise according to 5:19 of the book of Yahshua, or Joshua. He led them over the river Jordan into the promised land on the very tenth day. Isn't that strange that on the tenth day in Egypt, he rained hail down there, and on the tenth day of Joshua's, it was a time of glory. They carried the 12 altar stones on the shoulders. Jordan rolled back on their behalf. It was a time of planting. Oh, you see that? They went into the land and planted the new wheat. And they ate it in the fourth month, which was Pentecost. We're going to prove it to you. Now notice this. With the hail being on the tenth day, it did not hurt the wheat because it had not yet come up. See, it was just planted. It was probably planted a few days before the tenth, which would give a correct time for the wheat to mature. And a first fruit could be offered. Offering the first fruit couldn't be the old grain or the old storage. Had to be the first fruit. Now notice this. It takes wheat approximately 110 to 120 days to mature according to our own Department of Agriculture of mine matured wheat. Now, if you plant in a different location, that could come up a little sooner because you've got a warmer climate. Now, if it's on an average, it's between 110 and 120 days. Both of those numbers are significant. Joseph lived, which was the birthright son, he lived to be 110 years old. And Moses lived to be 120. And so this is examples of the priesthood and the numbers that's related to the Pentecost. Now notice this. If you remember, there are two kinds of wheat. One is winter wheat, and the other is summer wheat. The point is that there is no way for wheat to mature in 50 days. You get that? They couldn't have eaten of the new grain because it wouldn't have been up. It takes 110 to 120 days to mature. For a first fruit, if planted in the first month, and for wheat to mature in 50 days, for a first fruit, if planted in the first month, and it was as the word had not grown up or in the dark suggests. In other words, the wheat had not come up yet and was not hurt by the hail, which fell on the tenth day of the first month. Now, that's Passover month, ladies and gentlemen. Now, notice the tenth day significant to the next feast, which is the tabernacles. Well, you know what the tenth day of the seventh month is. Well, if you want to really find out what it is, you go to Numbers chapter 29, verse 1. In the seventh month, you shall blow the trumpet. You shall sound it in the seventh month on the first day. Now, that's the new moon. No work. No servile work. You don't work on that day. But if you work 6 days after the new moon, that brings you to the eighth day. It'll bring you to the seventh day. And this is how people have been deceived by putting their remedies or their theories out and not understanding the word of Yahweh, which takes a spiritual mind to do so. And that's why we have so much trouble. Now, the wheat had to be planted in the first month, and for that you want to go to Exodus chapter 9, verse 32. It was planted in the first month. It tells you. Now, the hail actually killed the cattle. That was how large it was, ladies and gentlemen. And it killed every herb and grass of the field, according to Exodus 9:22 through 25. Look up herb in the concordance. It's green grass. Wheat is an herb bearing seed and would have been destroyed if any of the number of growing stages, as was in the barley and the flax, that's what it killed. The only stage from sowing to harvest would have been possibly protected a plant from the hail when the divine intervention in the dark stage, in other words, it was still under the ground. Winter wheat that is planted with the barley would have been destroyed along with the barley according to Exodus chapter 9, verse 25. So if it had been a winter wheat offering for the first 50 days of the Pentecost, if that would have been the winter wheat offering, and that's what it would have had to have been if you subscribe to 50 days after Passover for the first month. So then, the hail smote throughout the land of Egypt all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb, which means green grass, look it up, of the field and break every tree of the field. It was devastating. But it didn't hurt the spring wheat that was planted according to the scriptures after. Now, just trying to give you a little proof from nature as well as scripture that Aaron, and he understood the nature to count for the 50 days was to start after the seventh Sabbath. Now that puts it out there pretty good, and not the first. What if you don't understand this? Well, the Bible said if these things are hid, it's hid from them that's lost. You are not going to be on the correct day, and that's very important. You need to be on the correct day to get in sync with Yahweh. Now, if you're always keeping the Sabbath and you're not there, and you change the calendar or you went along with tradition and you're there on Saturday and the Sabbath happens not to be on Saturday, what are you going to do? Yahweh's done had his rest day and he's on about his business, and then you rest on a working day and you're out of sequential order, and it's very important for you to keep these accounts in the Bible according to the Word. Now, if you interpret Leviticus chapter 23:16 as to start your count of 50 days after the seventh Sabbath instead of the first Sabbath, you'll have time for a wheat crop to mature. Remember that the new meat offering was to be wheat, and from their labor that they had sowed in the field. In other words, they had to go in here, ladies and gentlemen, as they entered in the fifth chapter of the book of Joshua, in the fifth chapter, and the 19th verse, they went over on the 10th day. That's significant. That's the day of hail in Egypt, the very day. Well, it just happens to be the day of atonement in the seventh month, so 10 is significant. What about 10? Well, there were 10 lost tribes. And if you really want to know about the Godhead, 10 is 1 reduced because a 0 has no merit or no value. So it's oneness. The 10th meaning it's a day that you are to observe. On the 10th day, you put up the lamb. Well, when they went over on the 10th day, the lamb went home. He was put up in his home. All of the chosen land that Yahweh had given Jacob's seed, and remember now, he didn't give it to the seed of the African American. He didn't give it to the seed of those over in some distant land. He gave it only to the house of Jacob Israel. And he told those house of Jacob Israel not to have any dealings with any of the strangers that bordered that land. Because remember, they had to drive the Canaanites and the strangers out of the land. They had to kill them. Literally drive them out. What wasn't killed was driven out. Well, now, you say, well, why would they do such a thing? Well, if you'll read Deuteronomy chapter 7, or if you'll read the book of Nehemiah chapter 13, or the book of Ezra chapter 9, you'll get the message. It's very simple. And they were very discreet in keeping the times. Now, let's number 50 days after the seventh Sabbath instead of the first Sabbath, and you'll have a time for a wheat offering in the fourth month. And don't you know that the scriptures relate to a fourth month harvest? Yahweh himself observed that there was a fourth month harvest. Well, there's something else very important here as we keep reading here and keep understanding about the covenant. It also said something very strange that happened on the day of Pentecost. Well, when the day of Pentecost fell, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in other tongues. Not unknown tongue now. It wasn't unknown. It was other tongues. It was the language, the pure language of the original Hebrews that they spoke in. It wasn't some jibber-jab of these Pentecostals running and saying, you've got to speak in unknown tongues. Well, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, anytime you speak to the Creator and he hears all speaking. But Paul said, I would rather speak just a few words and understanding or with a tongue that's understood as 10,000 as opposed to an unknown tongue. So you see how valuable an unknown tongue is. It's not very valuable. If you're trying to edify the truth, and that's what I'm trying to do here, if I started speaking in tongues, what good would I do trying to get you to understand that there was something very significant that happened on the day of Pentecost? This is one of the major keys. This is the third key I'm giving you of understanding what actually happened at Pentecost. All right? We know that the disciples, when this was noised abroad, now it was noised abroad, it went down and the Jews got a hold of something. Boy, there's something big going on up at the upper room. There's 3,000 souls got saved, and the next day there was 5,000. So it's 8,000 souls. We better get up there and see what's going on, because the Jews were jealous and envious, and they didn't want nothing to happen without their approval, so that they could step in and confuse the issue or to bring persecution and drive them out. And that's basically what they eventually done. But notice what they said. When they came up there, they were confounded. They were speaking in unknown tongues. But the Jews said, do not we hear every man speak in our language? And yet, aren't these men Galileans? But they're drunk. Now, what were they drunk on? The key is, let me give you the key. What were they drunk on? According to the Jews, that they supposed they were drunk and they weren't. It was an act of the Holy Spirit. And I do believe in getting slayed. I've laid out slayed with the Holy Ghost till I couldn't talk for 3 days. I've spoken in tongues for 3 days that I couldn't even say one English word without the tongues interrupting it. So I am a believer in speaking in tongues. But I am not a believer of all this foolishness, because when you go into these Pentecostal churches and preach them Yahweh, they will reject you. They will cast you out. Now the Holy Ghost, if that's Holy Ghost speaking in them and you're speaking the true name of the Creator, it won't cast you out. My sheep will hear my voice, he says. So what you're hearing them speak is not the voice of the Messiah. It is a way that seems right, just like Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, is a seem right way as opposed to 99 days. What was it that the Jews accused them of being drunk on? What? New wine. Now another mystery, and we're going to get in this for just a moment, but I'll show you that the wine harvest, the new wine, did not, the new grapes, did not come in till the fourth month. So the wheat, now that's the summer wheat, and the new grapes, the grape harvest, all came in the fourth month. No exceptions, ladies. It didn't come in January. It didn't come in February. It didn't come in March. It didn't come in April. It didn't come in May. It came in June or the latter part of June or July. That's the fourth month harvest after the wave offering of the 16th day that I told you in the resurrection. The Messiah arose to become the official wave offering, grain offering, of the priest as he waved it, anticipating the day of Pentecost to come. Now remember, seven Sabbath is numbered, and then 50 days. And that's not hard to do. Seven Sabbaths is 49 days, and 50 days is 99. Now, on the next day, when they came, they said, these men are drunk on new wine. They're drunk on new wine. Now, what is it that they were drunk on? Why did they think that they were drunk on new wine? Well, notice this. In Exodus chapter 23, verse 16, if they sowed summer wheat in the first month when they came into the land, then they could have had a first fruit of wheat from their own labor to eat their own crops, which Yahweh commanded them to do in Leviticus 23 and 16. Notice. They sowed in the field in time for Pentecost, but that wouldn't have happened in 50 days. If they came into the land and used the winter wheat and kept the traditional count for Pentecost, then it would not have been from their labor which they sowed in the field. And they were told to reap the harvest thereof, which was the barley, when they came into the field and to the land and to wave the sheaf. And that's exactly what they done. The high priest did on the 16th day that I have been telling you about. All this was from what was already planted. But the wheat and ingathering was to be from their labor as they sowed it in the field, according to Exodus chapter 23, verse 16, to eat of their own labor. And that's exactly, specifically what he told them to do. And that would have had to been in the fourth month, because the summer wheat is harvested in the fourth month. We'll get on to that just in a minute, and I'll prove to you that that word is in the New Testament by your Messiah. Now listen to this. It takes wheat 4 moons to bring a harvest. And for reference to that, you need to go to St. John chapter 4, verse 35. It takes wheat 4 moons, or 4 months, to harvest. And that's exactly putting you out on the recipe that Yahweh commanded you to do back in the book of Leviticus chapter 23, verse 16. And you will begin to number the weeks from the time. Now, that's 7 weeks. And so then, by 7 weeks, and then count 50 days. That's exactly what the Word says. But people just get hung up on the 50 days and leave off the 49 days, which is the seventh Sabbath. And as I explained to you, you only had to count the Sabbaths. You didn't count the new moons. So by doing this, we get the proper amount of time for the wheat to come up in the fourth month. And that's what they were doing. They were accused of being drunk on the new grapes, not the old grapes. They ate the new wheat offering on the day of Pentecost, not the old offering. They would have violated Yahweh's laws when he told them to eat of their own labor. Well, symbolically and spiritually, that's exactly what the apostles were doing, because before that, before they had the ruach, or the infilling, or the anointing, they were denying him and leaving and going back to fishing and doing all these worldly, carnal things, because they didn't have the power of the Holy Ghost. They weren't endued. But once they understood when the wheat harvest was coming in. They knew when it was going to be. Instead of waiting 50 days after the Passover, after the Messiah rose, remember, he's seen 40 days and they tarried 10 days. But this is after the count of the 49 or the 7 Sabbaths. The count started after the 7 Sabbaths to number the 50 days. I don't know where you understand what I'm talking about here tonight, but it's marvelous, and I've got to end right here, as it takes 4 harvest moons of John 4:35. You need to read John 4:35, and we'll pick up right there as we begin part 2 Wednesday night. Now, you don't want to miss part 2. I'm going to get down in some factual numbering system. And ladies and gentlemen, are you actually keeping the proper days that Yahweh commands you to keep? Are you going about your Father's business as it's commanded you in the Scriptures?
Are you keeping the proper day for Yahweh to bless you? Well, I hope and trust that you are. Man, hallelujah. Well, I just got a notice from my good friend. It runs a radio station down in East Tennessee here, right below me, about 80 miles. Brother Wally, he just informed me that the broadcast tonight on internet, now we've been having some problems due to the weather and due to a lack of a special piece of equipment, which Dave informed me. This is how dedicated these men are. They flew across the country hunting up these parts that they needed, and they got her in, and Wally has informed me. Now, he's simulcasting my broadcast tonight on the microwave stations. We got a lot of those doing that in Dallas, Texas, in Fort Worth, Texas, in Etowah, Tennessee, and others in foreign countries are simulcasting this message on their microwave stations. It's coming in, according to Brother Wally, loud and clear with no interruptions. Well, we know that Yahweh is going to bless you with this clear message. Now, by doing so, what we want you to do is to study to show. We are not asking you to conform to our way of thinking. We just don't want you to change for the changing tonight on the sake of change. Now, I just got word from my editor that records all my messages down in the great state of Arkansas from Brother Bob Haywood. He said, I'm impressed at the expense that WWRB went to resolve the problems that they've had. And he says, it is tested tonight and the audio is great. So, man, what a good news. We struggled through about 4 weeks of where our audio, and we have brothers listening in foreign countries. I have one brother that's in Spain that stays up practically all night just to listen to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. That's how dedicated these great men are. This man got on an airplane years ago and flew to East Tennessee and got baptized in the magnanimous, most wonderful name of Yahweh. And ladies and gentlemen, at that time, he wasn't in the best of health. But he got on that plane, and he rode her over here. He rode the wings of an eagle. Well, ain't that what the Bible said? They will come, they will mount up with wings of an eagle. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have to fly to get here, if you have to know the truth, we're going to have Passover. Now, we're going to have Passover in Murphy, North Carolina, starting on May the 8th. That's foot washing night. That's the preparation day, and I explained that to you in the resurrection factor. Well, then we're going to kill the lamb and take the Passover meal on the 9th, and then we will begin on the 10th. There it is. We begin on the 10th day the eating of unleavened bread for 7 days. We'll end it on the 17th. So that's the schedule. Be with us May the 8th through the 17th for Passover. Make your plans. Call it if you'd like to attend. If you're a true Jacob Israel, if you're not, don't call. But if you are, if you're interested in Yahweh and His truth and these little hidden mysteries, we'll be teaching. There will be other brothers and sisters over there teaching for you. We'll have good music and things of this nature. We celebrate after the solemn day of the Passover. Oh, it grieves our heart on the 14th day. We all weep at the killing of the lamb. You say, well, we don't do that. Well, what do? You kill a pig. Or you go get your ham and put it in the oven and worship Ishtar with grape juice and crackers. We do it according to the Bible, according to Leviticus 23, where I'm teaching out of tonight. And I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, that it's not really a hard saying. Did you know that? It's not really a hard saying if you can hear it. Now, if you'd like to listen to us on World Wide Web on WWRB, just click on Listen Live, and you'll get the message there as the simulcasting tonight, and it's sounding very good. So you can simply do that by going to www.oneyahweh.com. That's www.oneyahweh.com. oneyahweh.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, time is coming on. I've enjoyed being with you tonight on the proper count to Pentecost. I hope that you have studied with us and you've learned something. If you have any questions, write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, 37824. And if you'd like to call me, I'm live tonight here on the 6th day of April. And my telephone number is here, so 423-626-2172. I'll see ya. Yahweh bless you, and I love you in Yahweh's name. Go to